You've tuned into His Name Ministries Podcast.
Hallelujah. We are getting our fight back. We say more, more, more. We'll never be the same. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for tonight. What you're going to do tonight. What you have already done. How you have already moved and how you're moving right now. In Jesus' mighty name. When I came here tonight, I was reminded of a story of me when I was a young boy, about 8 or 9 years old. And it was a Sunday night church service, just like tonight, Sunday night. And I remember that weekend we had at the church, they had a lot of property and they had a motorcycle rally, Christian motorcycle rally. But a lot of the guys there, they weren't Christians. They were the bikers and they had these biker games and all. It was fun. As a young boy, that was the best time of the year. When are the bikers going to come? We can see them on their motorcycles, do tricks, eat hot dogs. So that Friday and Saturday, we had a big motorcycle rally all day long. But one of the requirements is on Sunday night, the bikers have to come to church. So the bikers, they came Sunday night. And I remember as a boy, 8 or 9 years old, I was in the sound booth having fun with my friends. And I remember the preacher preached. He preached a message. The service was over. Here's these bikers. They came in. Big, tough guys. But guess what? The Holy Spirit wasn't over. He said, you know what? Thank you for the message, but I want to move now. And I remember the Holy Spirit moved in that service. And it touched those bikers. They all fell to the ground. And they weren't just laying there. They were stuck to the ground. And they were crying for forgiveness, crying for repentance, crying, God, 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 I'm sorry. I give my life to you. What happened? Holy Spirit, big Holy Ghost, came in and touched those bikers. He knows exactly what those bikers needed. They didn't need a cute sermon. They needed a touch from God. I'm sure those bikers had drugs in their system. They've tried things of the world. But God says, try this, and totally touch those guys. Crying out. I remember I was back there in the sound booth. I ran down with my friends because they're like, wow, church is going so long. Maybe we don't have to go to church, school in the morning. We were like, come on, let it go longer. Because that was my household rule. If church went really long, late at night, I didn't get to go to school tomorrow, the next day. So we're like, come on, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, let it hit 11. I ran down, and I remember I saw those guys stuck to the ground, crying out to God. And the Lord, praying, the Lord has been showing me this again. And I asked God, why are you showing me this? He said, Brandon, because it's coming back to my churches. I'm going to do it again. Do you believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen, amen. It is happening again. Is it okay, brother, if you play? Hallelujah. It is happening again. Where the power of God does so come in our services, touch people's lives, have an encounter with God. Why? Because we serve a real God. God of power. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus is the real. Hallelujah. He's the real. People might have hurt you. People might have turned their backs on you, but that's not Jesus. Jesus would never turn his back on you. You know what Jesus did? He gave his back for you. Big difference. He gave his back for you. Hallelujah. Healing in the presence of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Even right now as I'm sharing, God is healing people as I speak. Just like that, you young girl, God touched you and healed your back. I believe that even right now, God is touching you. You just yield yourself to it. Say, Lord, touch me. You know I have this pain in my body, whatever it is. I don't want to carry it anymore. Because you carried it for me. As I'm sitting here, Lord, touch me. Be hungry for it. Hallelujah. We said we serve a God of miracles. A God of breakthroughs. It's no accident you're here tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to touch you in a very, very special way. Hallelujah. We're in the last days. Last days. God has chosen you this very hour. That's not me just preaching to you to make you feel good. That's the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. The Bible. Jesus is coming soon. All the signs are showing Jesus is coming soon. Do you realize we're living in a time? There has never been a time like this that we are living in. Never. What's my answer to that? Jesus is coming soon. All the signs, all the prophecies in the Bible being fulfilled. And it's all saying this, Jesus is coming soon. And he's calling all of us as believers to walk in the place we are called to walk in. To be on fire for him like never before. Where he's so real to us. Where he's our everything. And we just have a heart for him saying, I want to be used by you. I want to be used by you, Jesus. You're my Father. You're my everything. Hallelujah. In Revelation, it says this. You're either hot or cold. One or the other. But there's some of you that are lukewarm, not hot or cold. And it says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What's the Lord is saying this. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. Lukewarm is not the answer. The answer for you and I in this hour is to be on fire for God. And for you and I to be on fire for him, we got to have a relationship with him. And it has to be personal. Your relationship with him. Not your parents, not your pastor's God, but your relationship with him where you know he's my God. He loves me so much. He loves it when I spend time with him. He's moving in my life. The answer, last days, is us to be on fire for him. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. You're either a fireball, a snowball, or a spitball. You're going to fit in those categories. You don't want to be a snowball, cold. Hard. I guess I'll go to church. I don't really want to. No one likes me. You don't want that. You don't want to be a spitball. You don't want to be a snowball. You don't want to be a spitball. You kind of love the things of God, but you're not 100% on fire. You're still doing things of the world, and you're in between all the time. You do good, take a few steps forward and like three steps back. You don't want that. The answer is to be on fire for Jesus. And in my life personally, the way the Lord has done it in my life, me on this walk with the Lord, me being on fire for him, the Lord put people in my life that were on fire for God. Super on fire for God. Men of God in ministry who God uses all around the world. And all of a sudden I'm with them all the time, talking to them at dinner. It's no coincidence. Fireballs. People on fire for God. Evangelists on fire for God. Well-known people, and I'm with them. I'm like, God, this is no coincidence. Hallelujah. It's no coincidence I'm here with you tonight. You'd be so on fire for God. And when you're on fire for Him, sickness cannot stay on you. Disease cannot stay on you. Worry, anxiety cannot stay. It has to go. It has to go. When you're truly on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe things are being moved. There's breakthrough. There's some of you, you've been up. It's like you're ready for that breakthrough. I know tonight is the beginning of a major breakthrough. You mean someone dealing with, it's like a lawsuit. It's like law work. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of paperwork. There's going to be a breakthrough tonight. Hallelujah. You've been dealing with it for years. Breakthrough tonight. You're not called to carry that. You give it to Him. But there's going to be a breakthrough tonight in that. Hallelujah. Big things. Even accusations against you. There's going to be a breakthrough in that. People lying about you. People have been slandering your name. There's going to be a breakthrough and a restoration in your life tonight. It's already happened right now. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so, so good. His presence is already moving in this service right now. More, more, more. Hallelujah. He's moving right now. Do you guys sense that? You sense that? You shield yourself to it. Hallelujah. You in the back, I don't know you, but the Holy Spirit, I keep seeing you. God's touching your life right now. Something is happening in you. You know what I'm talking about? Power of God is touching you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I don't want to call you out, but God is touching your life, and He's making Himself so real to you. So just yield yourself to it. Hallelujah. More, more, more. I've been there. And you know how many times I've been called out? So many times. It's embarrassing. You don't like it. I understand. But the Lord is touching you. He's making Himself so real to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was still working with my family in ministry, and I was kind of, they would have special meetings all the time. Pastor, your pastor's been to quite a few of them. And they'd have me help out, just do if I needed to bring the man of God a coffee. I'd go bring the man of God a coffee. I remember one of them was a microphone. They wanted me to put a microphone on one of the ministers. I did not like that. You know why? I didn't know how to do it. You had to put it on them. You had to run the wire. And I was not good at it. So they go, Brandon, please. I think they were nervous to do it themselves. So they sent me a young guy to do it. Everyone else was like, no, I don't want to go around that guy. So we'll send Brandon. That's what I think it was. And I remember I would go up the stairs and here's a man of God. And he's an expert in the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. It's like, oh man, okay. Lord, please forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Don't have him call me out. God, I need you to move in my life right now. From the east to the west. Your blood. I don't want to hear anything. I know I'm not doing things that's not right. I'll fix it, Lord. Just don't tell the man of God. Don't tell him. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then I had to convince myself, Brandon, you know what? It says that in the Word of God. Blood washes me. I'm good. Okay. I knock on the door. Knock. Come in. Have my little microphone, my hand shaking. And I'd walk in. He'd have his suit on, standing there praying in the Spirit. I would say, hey, I'm here to put your microphone on. He said, okay. So God help us. He's praying. So, and I'm like, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I put the little microphone on. But I noticed something. When I walked into that room and I started to put that little microphone on, I noticed a shift in the atmosphere. I felt electricity coming off of this guy. No, I'm not making this up. I'm not just saying. I felt the power of God coming off of him. Whoa. I thought, man, this is not just a message he's preaching. He's walking in something. He has power. He has power. He's a man of God. I sense it. He's praying in the spirit. What's he doing? He's charging himself up. He's building up himself. So caught up. And I'm there. I'm probably messing up. And I'm like, I can barely talk. And somehow, by the grace of God, I got it all situated. I'm about to walk off. He goes, don't go anywhere, son. Don't go anywhere. I said, Lord, you know what I prayed. You know what I prayed. Lord, wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He goes, yes, Lord, I'll tell him. Brandon, the Lord has called you. Just give yourself to it. You're like David right now. You're in the field, but God's about to bring you forth. Just yield yourself to it, okay, son? Yes, sir. Men of God. People on fire for God. Fireballs for the Lord. God bringing those people into my life. I'm so thankful for it. Another story in Branson, where I'm from. There was a mighty move of God happening. Mighty move of God, a revival. People were coming to church every night. Healings were taking place. Just right now, like right now, healing is taking place. I'm just yielding myself to the Lord. I didn't plan on saying all this, but I know you guys are hungry for it. And I know there's a purpose for me to say it. But I was at this service, and this revival service, and they were having services every night. The place is packed out. And there's a man of God, evangelist, and very well known. And I remember we just flew in from California, and we go to church. And I told my mom, I just knew it was the Lord. I go, Mom, I think I even told Destiny, my wife. I said, there's something between him and me. I don't know what it is. I have to be at that service. Naturally, I had no idea what that meant. I just knew the Lord needed me to be there. So I'm there. The guy is preaching. Preaches for a little while. Gets down from the pulpit. Starts to pray for people. And then he calls me out. He goes, Brandon, come over here. Walk with me. And he said, God's going to use you in this hour. And he talked about in Psalms, it talks about the miracles of signs and wonders and passing it from generation to generations. He said, this is what's happening. God's passing this on to you. But I kid you not, this is what I felt. Me being real, I'm sitting there. I get up when he told me to get up, and I walk close to him, and he goes, get really close to me. So when I walked right next to him, shoulder to shoulder, I felt myself walking up to a higher level. It was like I skipped several levels. You know what it felt like? It felt like I was in the major leagues. It felt like I was operating in the junior high basketball league, and now I'm in the NBA. That's what I felt. And that's what the Lord is doing tonight in all of us. He is making us go up to a higher level. Whoa, what is this? Fireballs. Men of God on fire for God. Went to another service. Man of God who God has used in revival. His church in 5 years, almost 6 million people came to his church. 6 nights a week. Power of God on display. Miracles, signs, and wonders. This man, this pastor, he prayed for revival for almost 3 years. And guess where revival started happening? It started happening in his house with his kids and his wife. Power of God started to move in his home. I speak that over you. Some of you have some homes that are pretty crazy, pretty wild, but there is going to be a move of God in your household. If he has to, I even sense this, it might sound kind of funny, but some knuckleheads in your family, if the Lord has to reveal some things to them in a dream, he will. by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, I believe it and I receive it. Why not? Nothing else is going to change them, but the power of God will. They've been hurt by church. They've been hurt by the pastor, whatever it is, but the power of God will restore that. The anointing of God destroys every yoke, destroys every bondage, destroys every hurt. The anointing of God. Nothing can stand to the anointing. The anointing destroys. Not breaks. Breaks can be, something broke can be fixed. But I'm talking about the anointing of God. It destroys, obliterates it. Hallelujah. So this man of God, this pastor, revival's breaking out in his home. His sons, who he's always been close with, they just start weeping all the time, and they're getting even closer to their dad and the wife, and the power of God is moving strong. They go to church, normal church service, and God starts to move. A move of God that does not need marketing. A move of God that doesn't need to be signs to be printed. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about a move of God where people start coming because they need a touch from God. Why did over 6 million people come to that church in 5 years? Because they wanted a touch from God. They needed a touch. The way the revival happened at his church was there was a guy, and he was in war, and his arm, the skin on his arm, like, burnt off, and he had missing limbs on his fingers, and he had that for years. Everyone knew him. He was an anchor in the church. Everyone loved him, but he had a really messed up arm from the war. He's there in praise and worship, worshiping God. He's like this, his little arm, all messed up, mangled. No skin. And everyone sees it. His wife sees it first and starts screaming. And they said, they described it like this. It was like an angel was sewing his arm back together in front of everyone. And he goes like this, and fingers that weren't there anymore start popping out. And skin that wasn't there, there was new skin. And the guy, he was out in the sun a lot. He had a nice tan. And all of a sudden he had that tan on his arm. And he screams. Everyone saw it. And no one could contain it. That's what made it all start to go forth. That's what made it all pop off. Everyone saw it. They knew. Whoa. Move of God. People came. Every night, hungry for God. People getting blasted by the power of the Holy Spirit. They said they would come on the church property and people would start to shake. The anointing of God. Millions of people coming to that church service every night, 6 nights a week. People that were on the streets, they said something pulled us here to come to this church, and they would get saved, getting blasted by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So that man, that pastor, I was at a service, he was preaching. He gets up there, he starts talking, and he looks over in our direction, and he's just talking about revival stories, the move of God, and how that happened, and the testimonies he saw. And he says this, there must be someone hungry here for it, because I didn't plan on sharing these things, and I see myself sharing it. I think someone's pulling it out from me over here. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. So he preached his message, and he talks about the glory of God, the heavy weighted glory of God, how the glory of God is heavy with everything good, and us being carriers of the glory of God. He talked about Moses, how he was in the glory and his eyes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. We are people of glory. We are destined for glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was talking about the glory of God. Even sharing when the revival happened, the move of God started happening. He was a very composed pastor, very serious pastor. Everything had to be in order. And the glory of God so hit him, he couldn't even, for 2 weeks, he couldn't even walk. They had to put him in a wheelchair. Glory of God was all over him. He would sleep at night and his bed would shake. Glory of God is all over him. Hallelujah. He said he never had fell out under the power of God before. And that day that miracle happened, he said it was on Father's Day. He wanted church to be out early because he wanted families to be with their father on Father's Day. So he was mad. He's like, this, you know, their evangelist was preaching. He was mad because he's like, come on, I want church to be over. I want them to go be with their fathers. So he comes down off the stage here. And he said, I stepped there and I felt something like a air or a power going through my suit pants. He thought it was an air conditioning or something. And it just knocked him to the ground. The power of God. So we're in a church service. He's preaching. He's talking about these old stories. I'm listening. Someone's over here is pulling the, I'm gonna plan on sharing this, but someone's hungry for it. Place is packed out. He gets done preaching. Guess what he does? He comes right over here to me. And he gets by me. And this is what I felt. I felt heavy glory. Heavy glory. Felt like weights were on me. I felt like hundreds of pounds of weights was on me and I couldn't stand. And I was going like this. But I never had done this before. I'm going backwards. And they had ushers. They took me and grabbed me from the back and put me close to them. And I couldn't even stand. Destiny was there. She goes flying. I remember I saw her face. And it was hilarious. My family is like laying on the chairs like this. I wish I'd take a photo. It would have been when they called me, that would have been my ID. If I'd have known. But this is what he said. Son, you feel that? And he opened up the suit coat. Son, you feel that? Do you feel that? I said, yeah. He goes, that's the glory of God. He has a southern accent. I'm trying to impersonate it to you. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. You're going to carry it, son. You're going to carry it. You have a heart for it. You have a heart for the move of God that had happened. And I do. I listen to the services all the time. Worship music. He says, you're going to carry it. Then guess what he does? After that, he walks out. He walks out of the church service. And all these people are there. They want prayer. And the guy hosting the meeting, who's a friend of mine, he's hilarious. He gets up there and gets the mic. And he goes like this. Everyone, Elvis did not leave the building. Let me repeat that again. Elvis did not leave the building. God is still here. Holy Spirit is still here. Don't get distracted. Yeah, we know he left, but God's here. It's not about a man. Even right now, it's not even about me laying hands on you. Even though that's a biblical, we do it. But even when you're sitting right now, God is touching you. Yield yourself to it. So they said this, that guy hosting the meeting. Brandon, come up here. I came up there. You're going to be the guy. You're going to pray for everybody. I want to say thanks a lot. Fireballs. Being on fire for him. Hallelujah. We're going to step up to a higher level tonight. High, high, high level. Higher level. Sawyer, come up here real quick. Man of God, you're about to go up to a higher level. Amen. Hallelujah. Who loves him? Look at that. Look at all the people that love you. Amen. Amen. Oh, they're a little late. Okay. All right. I thank you, Lord. Increase. Someone get behind them real quick. Hallelujah. Are you going to be okay in those sandals? I'm just joking. I'm messing with you. A fire from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You'll never be the same. Increase. In Jesus' name. Increase, Sawyer. You haven't seen nothing yet, son. You haven't seen nothing yet. He'll take you to places. You'll walk in places, even crazy places, I hear the Lord saying. And he'll use you. Hallelujah. Awesome. This is the hour. Hallelujah. Healing. God is healing people right now. Even healing marriages. Marriages are being healed right now. Your spouse right now is getting better looking in your eyes. Amen. You only have eyes for her. How many receive that? No. Better looking. Restoring. Hallelujah. I want you to stay in this place, but I want you to turn to the book of Mark. Hallelujah. The book of Mark. How many is glad you came to church tonight? A lot of churches are shut down, but guess what? This church is not shut down. This church believes in healing. This church believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. A move of the Holy Spirit. So Mark chapter 16. Verse 2. So Mary Magdalene, they're going to take spices to anoint Jesus, his body. Verse 2, it says this, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the tomb at the rising of the sun. How many know that's very, very early? It says before the sun was even up, they go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early in the morning. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? You know, it's amazing. I was meditating on this passage and I was reading it and I was thinking about them. You know, it's not like today's times where we have our car, we have our truck. No, it took some effort back in those days. It took some strength and some endurance. You had to walk. You had to ride a donkey, whatever it is. There is no cars. But it says they got up great before the sun. And they're going to anoint the body of Jesus. In verse 3, it says this. They said among themselves, who shall roll away this stone? Who shall roll away this stone from the tomb? That's a big stone. They literally thought that Jesus' disciples, his followers, were going to come and take his body. So they rolled on purpose the biggest stone they could find. No man can move a stone like this. Thousands and thousands of pounds. But here they get up before the sun. They have their spices in their hands. And they love Jesus so much. They just want to anoint his body. They want to take care of it. And they said to themselves, who's going to roll away this stone? They didn't stay at home. They didn't stay in their warm bed saying, well, God knows my heart. If I was strong enough to roll the stone away, I would. But we don't know anyone who can help us. No, they got up, they got ready, and they started to walk. And they were on a mission. They, in their own strength, can't roll away the stone. They're talking about it. Hey, it's, you know, it's good that we're doing this. We know we're supposed to do it. But who's going to roll away the stone? They didn't let that stop them. There is things in your life the enemy has put there. Big stones. Big whatever. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't let it stop you. Whatever God has put on your heart to do, whatever God is telling you to do, you go for it. Because on your road to breakthrough, the enemy will always put stones. He'll always put roadblocks. But guess what? You keep on going. They said, who's going to roll away the stone? Who's going to do it? Verse 4, and when they looked, can you imagine? Here they are. They get to the tomb. I've been there. I've walked in the tomb twice. I've hung out in there all by myself where Jesus was. He's not there anymore. Verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In other words, saying it's very heavy, big. They look, and the stone is gone. Hallelujah. The enemy's trying to put roadblocks in your life. He's trying to put some big stones in your life. Yeah, it's very great. I'm not denying that. But guess what? The power of the Holy Spirit, those things are going to be moved. That sickness you've been dealing with, it's been your mom's, it's been your grandma's, that thing is leaving in Jesus' mighty name. Bad doctor reports, big stones in your way. It seems like your life is ruined. That's all you can think about. That is being rolled away tonight, even right now. Amen. Even you young people, maybe some of you believe in God to go to college, the right college. The tuition's a big stone. That's being rolled away right now. Is that you? Supernatural. He's not asking you to pay for it. You just put your trust in him. You keep on going. They looked and it was rolled away. Verse 5, and entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. Verse 6, and he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. He said this. They see an angel. The angel says this. Hey, I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus. You want to anoint his body, and that's great. But guess what? He's not here. The cross did not defeat Jesus. You see that all the time. You'll see, you know, a picture of Jesus on the cross, or you'll see t-shirts with that. Hey, he's not on the cross anymore. He defeated the cross. The angel said, you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He has risen from the dead. We serve a God of power. Why do you think every time people encounter angels, when they've encountered Jesus, you always hear this, be not afraid. Why? Because there's a power going on. They sense a power. In Matthew's version of this, the Passion Translation, it says this. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him, and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified. These big, bad guards. These tough guards. What happens? The angel of the Lord Jehovah shows up. The God of power. Our God. Our Father. And they saw it. They were scared. They were stunned and terrified. lying motionless like dead men. How many know dead men don't stand up? They fall to the ground. They encountered our God and they were stunned, terrified. They were shaking. They fell to the ground. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and check this out, and sat on top of it. Things that you think you're going through, problem situations, they're all under your feet. That big stone, that heavy, great stone, the angel of the Lord, Jehovah, showed up, rolled it away. The big bad guards, they're scared, fell down like dead men. And the angel sat on top of the stone. Hallelujah. The authority that we have. That's what I'm talking about. Nothing is impossible. No stone, nothing the enemy has thrown against you can stop you. He is defeated. But like that angel told them, you're seeking Jesus. He's not here. He has been raised from the dead. He says, go tell the disciples he's alive. Hallelujah. Our God is alive. But this is what Jesus was called to do. I shared to the 30 below young adults, I shared about how we have a race. And if we have a race, we're called by God. And I talked about looking to Jesus. That's the only person you're called to look to. Not to people, not to Instagram, Facebook, not to your friends, your pastor. No, you look to Jesus. If your eyes are on people, you'll get hurt. If your eyes are on your wife all the time or your husband, you're going to be a yo-yo. When they're happy, you're happy. When they're sad, you're sad. But when your eyes are on Jesus, you're good. And when they're sad, you can make them happy. And you'll be that anchor in their life. Can't put your happiness in a person. Can't put your joy in a person. Your foundation is called to be in Him. He's the foundation. Everything else is sand. Everything else has no support. But you put your eyes on Him. So I told that to the 30 below. You have a race. God's called you. You look to Jesus. But how many know Jesus had a race? Jesus had a race. And His race was this: to come down to earth, be the perfect sacrifice of sin, sickness, disease. He took on sin. He took on pains. He took on the whips, so the disease, so you and I don't have to carry those. That's what He was called to do. He didn't come down here to be liked by people. He didn't come down here to be accepted by the religious leaders. Those people wanted to kill Him. He didn't come here to be praised and to be adored and to get the greatest compliments. No, He came here on a top level secret assignment from His Father. And He only said what His Father said. And He only did what His Father did. That's what He was called to do. Even on the Sabbath day, a man was sick. And He heals the man, and it causes all this controversy. How can you do this on the Sabbath? And Jesus says this: if my Father's working, guess what? I'm working. And if that causes criticism, if that causes persecution, so be it. Because I only care about what my Father does. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you want to kill me. I don't care. That happened all the time. They literally wanted to kill Jesus all the time. He didn't come down here to be celebrated. He came on a top level secret assignment for us. It says in Corinthians, if they would have known this, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They thought when they took Jesus out that it was all over. But they failed to realize when Jesus died on the cross and He was raised from the dead, we all raised up with Him. Whoa. Now there's millions of Christians. Now there's millions of believers. cleansed by the blood, the grace of God, that reign in life as kings, anointed by big Holy Spirit. That's us. Jesus could have called on the angels at any moment to rescue him, but he didn't. It says that if Jesus wanted to call on 12 legions of angels at any moment, he could have, but he didn't. Why? Because you and I are on his mind. I'm winning them back. I'm doing what you call me to do, God. I'm doing what you call me to do, Father. I'm winning them back. Where the first Adam fell, I'm that second Adam. I'm winning them back. Yeah, hallelujah. I never created my kids to go to hell. I'm winning them back. One angel took out in one night 185,000 men. A legion is a minimum of 5,000 to 6,000 men in a legion. So literally, if Jesus wanted to, if you do a legion, 5,000 to 6,000 per legion, 12 legions, and that one angel took out 185,000 men, it would equal out to over 13 billion people those angels would have taken out at an instant. And it said Jesus could have called on more than 12 if he wanted to. So literally, at the snap of his fingers, the whole mankind could have been wiped out. But what? Jesus didn't say a word. Why? Because we're on his mind. And he was winning us back. So we don't have to have pain. We don't have to deal with sickness, disease. Jesus took it for us. He took it for us. Hallelujah. He took it for you tonight. He took it for you.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com. Or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.